Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Today, I'm going to be speaking, continuing the series on the Sermon on the Mount that you've been working through, and I'm going to be talking about not worrying, which is funny because I've been worrying all week about what I'm going to say to you. Come on, I thought that would get a laugh. Where's the drummer today? But first, before doing that, I've got a little prize here. I would like you to talk to the person next to you. Oh, look. Talk to the person next to you and tell me what you think the most read verse on YouVersion is for 2023. Does anyone actually know, before anyone says, does anyone actually know what it is by reading the same thing that I read this week? So, okay, Nikki knows. Anyone else? All right, who wants to have a guess? This is the chance of a chocolate bar. When Naomi comes back, don't tell her, because this is from her Easter egg.
Genesis 1:1.
No. You're in the right testament. I'll give you that.
Do not be anxious.
Do not be anxious. That is not it. No. Good call.
Jeremiah 29
comes in a close second. Oh. Come on. Getting closer.
Psalm 23
isn't on the top 10.
Joshua 1:9
is number 5. Look at this. Anyone else want to guess? That's number 10. I think that'll always make the list. It's in Zoe's favourite book.
Isaiah.
Isaiah 41 verse 10. It says this: do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. But I think what that shows, the fact that that is the most read verse, and then the other ones that we're all guessing, they're all around kind of like fear and anxiety and worries. And has God got this? Is he holding it? Has he got this together? But they're all, the top 10 are all related to like anxiety and plans and worry. And it's not really surprising, is it? I mean, just last night I went on the news and it said that Iran had got involved in the Gaza conflict. And I'm thinking, oh my word, like that is escalation. Like that is something to be concerned about. Something to think about, something to worry about. The Ukraine-Russia war continues. I was talking to my friend in Myanmar this week, and he was telling me how they've brought in a new law to conscript every male between 18 to 35, and how his son is an 18-year-old who is going to get conscripted into an army that's losing a war against another army. There's reason globally to be anxious. There's a lot going on. There's a reason to be worried. It's not surprising that we feel like that. And not only that, I think we've had a run-up of anxiety stuff, haven't we? So we've had Brexit, which caused quite a lot of big shift, big change in our nation. We've then had the global pandemic, which I don't know about you, but that has changed my life dramatically. I might not be standing here today in Manchester if it hadn't have happened. And then we've got things on the back of that, the cost of living crisis. Kiri wrote a good report on that. If you want to know more, read that report. We've got health things. And that's before we start thinking about real personal things that we have going on as well. About like, what about my kids? How are they going to do? What about my health? What about the people around me who are not so well? Or like, there's reason around us constantly. What if I can't afford my food this week? What if I can't put gas in the car? What if I can't? You know, there's lots and lots of stuff around us which can cause anxiety and worry. And we have to think, oh, okay, like it's going to be around us. How do we handle that? And one of the good things about these being the top 10 verses and the things that we're guessing is that actually there's an upturn in people turning to Scripture to think, actually, what does the Bible say about these problems? So there's been a big increase in YouVersion's reports about the numbers of people downloading their app and looking for these kind of things. So that's a positive thing, and that's something that we need to do. We need to be people who lean in to Scripture and what Scripture says about worry. And most specifically what Jesus says. Like, how do we do this? How do we live in an anxious world? How do we live in a worried place? How do we be different? And how do we manage our own worries as well? So I'm just going to read this. It's Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It's a slightly easier to read version of Scripture, which I need. So that's helpful. But what I want you to think, sometimes we read over like a couple of verses and we just think, that's a teaching moment, and then we learn it, and then we shut the book, and then we go away from it. But I think Jesus is doing something different with the Sermon on the Mount. I think this is him trying to disciple people so that they can see change in their lives. He's slowing things down, and you read it like it's just a snappy little, he pointed at the birds, he pointed at the flowers, and then it was all over. But actually, I think he's trying to slow people down in order to think, well, how do we be changed? How do we be transformed? How do we become more godly? And so let's have that in mind as we read this through. So Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 says this: "That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thought of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." I want to start by saying that Jesus doesn't say that we won't have troubles in this verse. Jesus doesn't say that everything's going to be sweet and everything's going to be easy. He doesn't say, oh yeah, life's going to be a breeze because you now know me. He doesn't say, oh yeah, you're separated from it all. Good for you. He says that you will have troubles. He says today will have enough troubles of its own. And I just want to encourage you. We are a community, a family that carry each other's burdens together. We should not be people who wear masks in this place, who pretend everything is okay, who come in and if you're asked, oh, how are you? Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. When actually really behind the scene, you're like treading water, like, oh, help, I can't do it. We're meant to carry each other's burdens. We're meant to work with one another, love one another, care for one another. It says in the Bible that we're a body, and if one part of our body is hurting, all the rest of us should be hurting as well. We should be a people carrying each other's burdens together. Each other's troubles and worries should be something that we share. So there's an encouragement here, actually. When you hear, do not worry, sometimes you think, well, if I tell them I'm worried, oh, they're going to like think I'm not following Scripture. But actually, to share it together, to carry it together, to share the load, that is one of the beautiful things about the church. You're not alone. You're together in this place. So take your mask off. Share your burdens with one another. Share the struggles that you're having. If you're really struggling with worry and anxiety, share it with people. Bring it into the light, because that's where God can work. And don't try and hide it from God either. It's a futile thing. In Genesis 3, we read about sin, the first sin. And it says that in the cool of the night, God was walking and Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. And I've been thinking where they tried to hide. Is it behind a little rose bush? Like, God can't find me here. Like, what, where was he trying to hide? It's a futile thing. God sees all things. He knows all things. And he sees you. He sees where you're at. There's no point trying to hide it. Look through Psalms. David was very open about his emotional things, his physical things, kind of the worries he had. What if the army's going to kill me, Lord? What's going to happen then? Be open with God and be open with others. That's the first place to begin with worry. Let's bring it into the light. Let's share with Jesus. Let's share with one another. But how do we manage the worries and the stresses? Like, how do we do it? I think Jesus does something here that is going to teach us how to manage it and how to change the way that we think. There's three principles that I think are really key in these verses. The first one is this. Practice being present. Slow down and be very present in the moment. Verse 34 says this, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Worry tends to be about things in the past or things in the future. We're either worried about our failures in the past, the things that we've like been disappointed by, the things that we've failed to do, the things that we expected. Things in the past can cause us worry in the today. They're often in the past or the future. The what ifs that I was talking about before. What if I get unwell tomorrow? What if this happens? What if this war takes over the whole world? What if? What if my mum doesn't get better? What if this is happening? The what ifs of life are the future things that we think about constantly. And they can go round in our head. And some of them are very real, as in it might actually happen. And some of them are potential things that could possibly maybe happen, but maybe a bit further down the line. But what Jesus says is be present in the today, because today you can manage it. I was listening to one of my friends talk on Friday, actually, and she shared this story. She said a number of years ago, her husband lost his faith, and he ended up having a bit of a breakdown, like really losing his faith, not just in God, but also in the family. And he ended up walking away from her. Now, she had two little kids at the time, and she was sharing how it was the most difficult thing that she has ever walked through. And day in, day out, she's like, I can't do it. Constantly coming back to, I can't do it. Going to God and saying, I can't do it. I can't face it. But she said, actually, what she was thinking was like, I can't do tomorrow. I can't do next week. I can't do this next month. I can't manage this. And you start thinking about the future and what it holds and all the things and the responsibilities that she was holding and how to raise these kids. And one day she said, I just had enough. And I went to God and said, I can't do this. I'm not doing it. And the thing God said to her, God said, okay, could you just give me today? Give me today and think about that and see if you can do that. And she said it was hard, but that changed everything about the way she managed it. Because actually it changed her thinking from worrying about tomorrow to worrying about just the things today. Can you get through this today? Can you do this today? And she said it transformed that situation. It didn't change it, but it transformed it because it took the weight of worry for the future off her shoulders. I found that so powerful when she shared that. And that can be the same for us. Let's live in the moment. Let's practice being present in the day that we have. Let's manage the worries of today instead of constantly thinking about tomorrow. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, and it is practice the presence. So you practice being present, and then you practice the presence. So you practice the presence of God. You spend time with God. I don't know if you've ever tried to meditate. Has anyone ever tried meditating? Yeah? Well, I think worry is a form of meditation. So if you've worried, you've probably meditated. You see, Eastern religions teach you that meditation is emptying your head of all things and getting rid of it and focusing on nothing. Christian meditation is taking the word of God and thinking about it and resting upon it and letting it change the way that you think. So instead of emptying yourself, it's filling yourself up. That's what Christian meditation is. And that's what worry is. So you have a thought, and then it won't leave your mind, and then you think about it, and 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 think about it. I don't know how long to go on, Lord, but I could go on a little while. But it is constantly in your mind. It's there. If you've got a worry, it lives in your mind and it's constantly going round and round and round. And what we need to do is learn to meditate on good things. Learn to meditate on God's word. And I think that's what Jesus is teaching in this passage, actually. He's teaching them to slow down, to get out of the busyness, and to meditate on some good things. So what does he teach them? He teaches them to look at creation. He teaches them to slow down and look at the creation around them. He points at birds, he points at trees. I've got this place near work. Whenever things are kind of overwhelming me, I go to this place. It's a park and there's trees and there's birds. And I just sit on a bench and I just think, okay, what's going on? Let's look at the trees. And then you start looking at the trees. And then you start looking at the variants of the trees. And you start looking at the beauty all around you. And you start, oh, that tree is very different to that tree. Oh, and there's shrubs on the floor. That one's a lot smaller than that one. And then you start getting lost in this kind of creation, and you start thinking, oh, the birds of the sky. And you look around and there's so many different birds, so many different beautiful birds, all with different calls. And you think about the magpies, which call is not nice and sounds like they're arguing with one another. And then above that, you get the kind of the red kites who come in squeaking and the buzzards around. And then you get the little birds flying all around. And you start looking at creation and you start thinking, wow, creation's incredible, isn't it? And you still yourself and you think, wow, God made all of this. See, instead of dominating your mind with the things and the worries, you can dominate your mind with the good things that God, the Creator, has made this. He's created it all. He's made it. And it does something in your soul as you start thinking about these things. And then you start thinking about what Jesus says here. And okay, so God feeds all of these birds. Wow, look how many birds there are. And God feeds all of these birds. All these birds survive. It says in Matthew 10, actually, not a sparrow drops to the ground without your Father in heaven knowing that he has done that. And you start thinking, wow, God is caring for all of these birds. One of the most common things about creation, I spoke to someone at Alpha, and she was saying, actually, I believe that God created the world and then left. I think it's called the watchmaker principle. I think for anyone who thinks about these kind of things, I think it's called, like, God made it, he put it together, he made it work, he made it function. But actually, that's not biblical at all. Like, God is very involved in creation. And Jesus wants you to know that. So when you look at creation and you look at the birds and how they eat and the God is involved in each one of them. God is very present in this world. And as you look at creation, you can think, wow, God is feeding all of these things. God is very present in this place. He's here in creation. The Creator is present in this place. And that's an amazing thing to just meditate and think upon. The Creator of all of the world is present. Now, if the birds don't convince you of that, start thinking about Jesus on that. We've just had Easter. Jesus, God, left heaven and came down to this earth because he loved us so much. That's how much God, the Creator, is involved in creation. It's how much God, the Creator, looks upon us. And you can think about the birds and things and you can think, oh, wow. But then you read this and it says, actually, he cares more for you than he does for the birds. And you think about Genesis 1 and creation was good and it was good and it was good, and then he made man and it was very good. In Ephesians 2 verse 10 it says, you are God's masterpiece. You are his main design. You're the precipice of his creation and he cares for you. And if he's feeding the birds in this way, he can look after you as well. And it can still your mind as you think about that. The Creator of all the world loves you. But Jesus takes it a step further. In this one, he says, your Father in heaven cares for you. And this is something Jesus did a lot. I think this is one of the most, like, the biggest thing that Jesus wanted to change in his disciples was their view of God. Their view of God as this taskmaster who wanted you to obey him, that kind of like frowned upon you when you disobeyed him and didn't really like you, but sometimes did like you because you behaved a bit better. He wanted you to know that actually, no, God is your Father. And he says it again and again through his ministry, Father, Father. In fact, just through the Sermon on the Mount, constantly he points to the fact that Father, Father, Father God, he is your Father. This is a journey I'm still going on, but I'm convinced it's something God really wants to do, a work in our hearts. He wants to transform our hearts by showing us that he is Father. Now, some of us might find that difficult. Some of us might not have had good relationships with Father. Even if you have had good relationships, your Father is still a poor representation of Father in heaven. And I think about that when I've got my kids. I think about what they'll have to work through as they get older because of my failings to represent the Father effectively. But Jesus wanted his disciples, and he says it twice in this short passage, your Father in heaven cares for you. Your Father in heaven knows your needs. Father is so important. Have you had the revelation that God is your Father? That he cares for you? 245 times, that's how many times God is represented as Father in the New Testament. Old Testament, it was 15 times. The whole of the Old Testament, much bigger document. Jesus wants you to know. And he wants it to transform the way that we think, the way that we feel, our hearts and our minds. He is your Father who loves you. He is your Father who cares for you. He is your Father that will provide for you. He is your Father that knows your needs. Jesus says to come in prayer, he says, our Father. But more than that, he says, ask your Father, because your Father loves to give good gifts. He tells us to love our enemies. Why does he tell us to love our enemies? Because we're representatives of our Father in heaven who loves enemies. When he breaks the bread and provides food for 5,000 people, what does he do? He looks up to heaven and says, Father in heaven. He's constantly taking it back to the Father heart of God. This is a quote I read in the week by a guy called Ranieri Catalamanza. I've said that wrong, it's Italian, sorry if there's any Italians in the room, I apologise. But it says this, the love of God is the answer to all the whys in the Bible. The why of creation, the why of incarnation, the why of redemption. If the written word of the Bible could be changed into a spoken word and become one single voice, this voice, more powerful than the roaring of the sea, would cry out, the Father loves you. The Father loves you. That's the whole message of the Bible. The Father loves you. It says in Zephaniah, the Father sings over you with joy, delighting in you. That's amazing. The Creator becomes your Father who sings over you with delight and joy. As you meditate on these truths, the stillness of God comes in. And he draws near to you. He draws near and he changes the way that you think. As you think about, okay, if God is my Father, what does that mean? What does a father do? What does a father represent? A father is often, especially in these times, the provider. He provides. The Father is often the security, the safety. He creates safety for me. Do you let your mind meditate on the fact that Father God loves you? What it does is it takes away self-reliance. It means that actually I don't have to be the answer for all the solutions. I don't have to be the answer. It takes away the fact that I don't have to provide all the things. My Father in heaven provides. I was reading a book by Simon Holly. If you've not read it, you should definitely read it. It's called Sustainable Power. It is so powerful. But this is one quote. He says, self-reliance is not a term that we find in Scripture. However, the evidence of it is seen throughout the lives of the disciples. And if we look carefully, we can see how Jesus dealt with it. It's rooted in an orphan heart, a heart that sees itself as being alone in the world. The Father draws close. You are not alone. It is not all on your shoulders. He carries the burdens. It's glorious. It's glorious truth to meditate on. And I want to encourage each of you to find a place in creation where you can meditate on the fact that He is your Father who loves you. And in those moments, you can sit still and you can think, okay, God, I give you this worry. I hand it to you. God, I give you this anxiety. I hand it to you. As you meditate on it, you know that relationship. The Father loves you. He has got this. He has got me. He knows my need. He cares for me. He's provider. He's protector. He loves me. The third and final one is this. And I think this helps us to not worry in an incredible way. You practice being present. You practice the presence of God. And you practice being a present. That's a bit odd, isn't it? But you know, you are God's gift to this world. You are God's gift. He leaves you here in order to be a gift to the rest of the world. Paul says it'd be better by far if he went to heaven, but actually for everyone remaining, it's better if he stays on earth. He would rather die and go to heaven to be with his Father, but actually there's a real need for him to be on earth. Why? To bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. To bring the kingdom of God here. It says here in Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that isn't just for you. That is for you and the world around you. We're seeking first the kingdom of God to come in. And in a place where there's a mental health crisis, in a place where there's lots of anxiety, lots of worry, you can be a real gift to the world around you. You can bring the kingdom of God in. Now that can be a bit of a vague term, the kingdom of God. What does it actually mean to bring the kingdom of God in? What does it actually mean to seek the kingdom? What am I seeking? Like, what? And again, Simon Holly's book, and this is actually why I went to Simon Holly's book before I started reading it again and started talking about the Father. But he does this, he does a study through Isaiah. And there's 17 passages through Isaiah that talk about the kingdom of God and what it's like. And he does this study where he reads through each one and then he says, okay, these are the things, the seven key things that come out again and again in Isaiah. And it says this, they are these seven things, deliverance and salvation, righteousness and justice, peace, joy, God's presence, healing and comfort. That's what we are to expect when we seek the kingdom of God. These are the signs that the kingdom of God are coming to life. These are the signs that God is actively working in this place. When we see comfort come in, when we see healing, when we see God's presence in a powerful way, when we see righteousness and justice. But this is one thing in the middle, the peace thing, which I think really speaks into this morning. I used to be really annoyed, okay? I used to pray for people quite regularly, and I'd be annoyed because I could feel God's presence, and I could feel the peace of God. But I wouldn't necessarily see them healed, or I wouldn't see the like provision that I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, I can feel your presence. I can sense your peace in this. And I can sense you are working, but you're not answering the way that I'd quite like you to answer. And what this study actually did for me, it helped me to realize actually the peace of God is the kingdom of God. It is the answer to prayer. When I know he's present, I know that he is answering, that he is working, that he is gifting you peace. And peace is something that we can give to this world. We can bring peace into all kinds of situations. You can bring peace into relationships around you. You can bring peace into your workplaces. You can bring peace in. And that can transform a nation around us. As we seek the peace of God for this city, as we seek the peace of God for those around us, as we seek God's kingdom first in our lives and the lives of those around us. And there's this verse in Philippians 4:6, which I think is just perfect for this morning. And we probably mostly know this verse. But Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6, 7, say this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I think there's a process that we go through in growing, in resting in God, in meditating in Him, in trusting Him. And I encourage you to do that through this week. I encourage you to find places where you can rest in God's presence. But I also think God works supernaturally. And I believe that God can change in a moment, change situations in a moment, change thought patterns in a moment. He can transform things in a moment.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.